Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you know our hearts, you know our needs and our burdens. We do thank you for your blessings and your answered prayer. And Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. We don't take that for granted. Lord, we want to give you the priority for our lives today and for this time. And Lord, we pray that you would bless us as we study your word together. Give us a teachable heart, sensitive spirit. May we be drawn closer to you. You know the burdens and cares and the needs we all have. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet every need and help us today. Give us the wisdom that we need. And Lord, you know the difficult days. You know the things that we need your guidance and direction. And Lord, help us to walk in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 2 this morning, Proverbs chapter 2. I want to encourage you again to be reading a proverb every day, one that corresponds to the day of the month. And I know that'll be a blessing to you, always a blessing to read God's Word, but in an orderly, consistent fashion, especially, we're thankful for God's Word, how it speaks to us every day, has a message for our need for that day. Just to do a little bit of a review, chapter 1 has the definition of wisdom and foolishness, and we want to look at that again. Again, also the fact that this wisdom that we're talking about is part of knowing the Lord as our personal Savior. We cannot have wisdom without knowing the Lord as our Savior, first of all. But then, as well, we need to ask for wisdom for our daily lives, our daily needs, our daily path, the situations that we face every day. We need special guidance. We need help. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God that helps us, and even when we don't realize it, even when we don't know that we need help or direction, He protects us from many things that I think we're really not even aware of from time to time and day to day. But in verse 5, we have the definition of a wise man. It says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So we see that there is a wise man. It has a teachable heart, also not too proud to ask for help, for advice from godly counselors, wise counselors. Then we see here in verse 7, we have the definition of fools. It says, read the entire verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, which is a key thought or theme of the book itself. It says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it's a contrast between a foolish man or a foolish behavior and wise behavior. By the way, I don't know if I've mentioned this or not, but there's a correlation between wisdom and foolishness and pride and humility. Wisdom and humility go together. Pride and foolishness go together. There's a correlation there, and you'll see it as we get through the book of Proverbs, as we move along here, going through these verses and these chapters. Proverbs chapter 2, let's begin reading with verse 1. We're going to read down through verse 9. He says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Here in chapter 2, again, he says, my son, five times he says that through here. And we need to remember that it applies to us as well. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, so we apply it to our lives as well. And if it's good for a son, it can be good for a dad. and a mom and a grandmom and a granddad and everybody in between. And so these instructions of wisdom, again, to the one who knows the Lord in particular and realizing and understanding that there is a wisdom of this world that is in opposition to the wisdom of God. The thoughts and ways, direction, the path of this world, of this life, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof the ways of death. There, natural man has a natural wisdom, or what they consider wisdom, and the wisdom of God is considered foolishness to those of the world. The preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those that believe not. But I'm glad that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching, which is what it's considered by those of the world, those who are lost, those who haven't received it, those who do not want it. And so here in this passage, we see, first of all, there's three ifs here in the first four verses that are very important. We're reminded again, chapter 1 tells us a lot about the consequences of not having the wisdom of God, of going in the wrong direction, of not seeking the Lord. And we're going to be reminded of that all the way through the book of Proverbs. We're going to be reminded that it takes a desire, it takes a hunger, a thirst for the wisdom of God, for the righteousness of God, for the Word of God. And all these things work together. I don't know that you can separate the wisdom of God from the Word of God or from the Lord Jesus Christ in one sense of the word, of the matter. But here we're looking at this desire, this receiving. First of all, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. This has to do or speaks of even going as far as memorizing them or knowing them to the point where they can be remembered. As far as memorization of Scripture, there's times I've memorized some Scripture. When I was in college, I had to memorize Scripture. It was a requirement. I was tested on it. I think that I've memorized more Scripture by hearing it, though. Sometimes some folks are auditory learners, some are visual learners, some are a combination of both. I think I'm more of an auditory learner than a visual learner. And then there's those that learn by practice or by doing. And of course, any time any of our senses can be involved in learning, the more senses that we can get involved in our learning, the better. That's why if you're going to memorize Scripture, it helps you if you write them down. Write them out. Just like those spelling words when we were kids, remember? Wrote them 5 times each, 10 times each, writing them, reading them out loud. Reading the Scripture out loud, reading the verse that you want to memorize out loud. And going back and doing it again and again. And we're all different in how easy or how difficult it may be to memorize Scripture. But the point is that if it's important to us, if we think it's going to be helpful, then memorize it. Do our best to apply it to our memory. And repetition, again, is the key there. He says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. You might want to write some of these verses down. I have several references. I'm going to read these. You don't have to look them up, but Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11, a familiar passage. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Says it very clearly, doesn't it? About having the Word of God in our heart and in our mind. And there's been times that the Lord has brought a verse of Scripture to memory, to mind, to remembrance for a specific time in need. Maybe to share it with somebody or for a situation that I needed help with. For my own heart, for my own assurance, the Lord has given me a verse of Scripture that maybe I didn't try to memorize it, but it was there because I read it and I heard it and I listened to it. I received it. And that's why it says here, if thou wilt receive my words. First of all, again, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Amen. Whenever you talk to someone about their soul, about eternity, about them knowing the Lord, one of the first questions that we could and maybe should ask them is if they believe that the Bible's the Word of God. Because if they don't believe that the Bible's the Word of God, that foundation has to be established. And we go back to creation and say, okay, where did we come from? Where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? The Bible's the source of that truth, of those answers. I like this. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1, listen to this. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Through desire. That's how it happens. It doesn't happen naturally or instantly. It happens through desire. It happens through our effort, our reception. Again, that's why these ifs are here. Look at verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Does anybody here have you ever been to Chattanooga, Tennessee, where Lookout Mountain is? And you know where they have the incline? You've heard of the incline? That's this train that goes up the side of Lookout Mountain. I've never ridden it, although I grew up in Chattanooga area. I've been to Ruby Falls and Rock City, of course, you know, because I was in the Cub Scouts. My mom and dad never went anywhere. But if I hadn't been in the Cub Scouts, I don't know if I got to see anything. Wouldn't even been to Rock City and Ruby Falls. But anyway, there's this place called the Incline that goes up the side of Lookout Mountain just like that. Incline means going up at an angle. Decline means going down at an angle. So he says, incline, so thou incline thine ear. Means turn. It's this figurative language speaking to about our heart and our mind, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. This inclination to the Lord and to listening to what he says. We listen when he speaks. Do we actually care what God thinks about what we're doing and where we're going and our situation that we're in? Do we care what he thinks about it? Are we interested? Does it matter? Well, here's a couple verses. Psalm 119, verses 111 and 112. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. You see, the psalmist in Psalm 119 says, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even to the end. That was his determination. That was his plan. That was his direction, the psalmist. He wasn't saying, well, you know, if it works out, or if nothing else better comes along, I'm going to follow the Lord unless something better. He didn't say that. He was determined. He was steadfast. He was convinced that God's way was not only the best way, but it was the only way. It is the only way. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 12, listen to this. Proverbs 23 and verse 12. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. As I've said before, the natural part of us does not like to be told what to do. We might be willing to help somebody or to do something if we're asked kindly, but when someone tells us to do something, we kind of rebel against it, puff up against it. Sometimes the natural man thinks that they know more about their situation than God does. Well, God's in heaven. He doesn't see where I'm going, what I'm doing. No, he's here as well. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, beholding the evil and the good. He knows. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're facing. And so, if I apply my heart unto instruction, my ears to the words of knowledge, then I'm going to submit to that. Look at verse 3. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, and verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You see these ifs again. So it's conditional. It's conditional. How much do we desire the wisdom of God, the direction of God? Verse 3, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, that would be, of course, in our prayers, asking God for it. And an open admission that we need the Lord. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5 says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. And on thee," listen to these last few words, "on thee do I wait all the day." No, nobody likes to wait. I don't. You ever go to the doctor or the dentist and you sit there and you get there on time. But they don't get there on time, or they don't call you in when you get there. And you think, well, why did I have to be here on time? But they don't. Or they don't have to meet their appointment time with me. And none of us like to wait. And some of us have less patience than others, right? I know I have less patience than my wife. I'd like to have more. We say, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. I'm not going to be patient to wait on patience. But we have to be careful, don't we, about praying, asking for patience, because tribulation worketh patience. Yeah. Life experience, the tribulation, the experience, it gives us patience to know that God's able. He's there. He's able to help us. He says, and to teach me. It says, "The God of my salvation, on thee do I wait all the day." If we are willing to wait upon the Lord, then what does that do? That shows that we are dependent upon Him. And what else is there? What else is there that God desires of us? It's that we depend on Him. That He is that we're dependent upon the Lord for our salvation, to save us from our sins. Isn't that what faith is? Is a dependence, a total, without reservation, dependence on the Lord, without reservation, taking Him at His word? It's depending upon His word, waiting on the Lord. The Lord knows how to strengthen us. He knows how to make us better. He knows how to give us victory. But He's not going to be our bellhop. He's not going to be our butler. And He's not our spare tire. We give Him the priority for our life if we want His help, if we want His guidance, if we want His deliverance. Give Him the priority. Then look at verse 4, if you would. Now you see here, you can understand the desire. "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures." There's part of us that, of course, like the challenge of seeking for treasure, buried treasure, or, you know, lost treasure, that kind of thing. There's all the pirates and all the buried treasures and the maps and things like that. And, you know, when we were kids and, you know, hoping if we dug a hole in the backyard, we'd find something that was buried there. Treasure, that is. We weren't looking for bones or anything else, but we were looking for gold and silver. Right. And the thought of having a treasure map was all just exciting. Well, how much, if somebody handed me a treasure map and said, "Okay, if you follow this map here, you're going to find a chest full of silver," I'd say, "Whoa, maybe I ought to do this." Our desire for God and for His direction, for His help, for His wisdom should be greater than any of that. Should be greater than any of that. Why? Because it's more lasting than silver. Far more valuable. You see, we can get from the Lord what money cannot buy. We can get peace, direction. We can get encouragement. We can get strength. We can get victory over sin. Get victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. We can have all that from the Lord, but silver and gold will not buy that. It won't. Hid treasures, as exciting as that may sound, will not deliver us. So we see, let me read you a verse about this in verse 4. Proverbs chapter 3, just a chapter over, it says in verses 14 and 15, speaking about wisdom, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. This her is talking about wisdom, the wisdom of God. There is nothing that is more valuable than the wisdom of God for the child of God as far as our life and our path and our direction is concerned. Now, in this passage, verses 1 through 4, the ifs that we've got here, the conditional things that must be met, then there's the rewards of these conditions being met in verses 5 through 9. And I want to read the last verse in our passage today, verse 9. Yea, every good path. As we read these verses before verse 9, I want you to think about this path, this thought of the path or the way of life, this path of life, this way of life. The Lord uses the term path through the book of Proverbs, through the book of Psalms, very often to describe our life, the path of our life. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Time and time again, the word path or the word way, our way, the way of the child. Now, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. There is the wrong way, and there is the right way. And we're talking about, what does it say in verse 9? Every good path. What makes it good? Because it's God's. Because it's His. It's His direction. He's the one who made us. He's the one who knows what we need. He's the one who knows what's best for us. He knows what is best for us even though we do not. It takes a submission to that understanding. Now look at verse 5, if you would. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord. Again, when we're talking about fear, it's more than just the fear of chastisement or punishment or the negative things that come from not fearing God or respecting God. It's more of a fear of disrespecting or displeasing the Lord. It's a reverential respect for Him. It does include fearing His wrath or chastisement. Just as I was a child, I did not want to face my dad when I'd misbehaved. But I also feared disappointing my dad. And I feared displeasing my dad. I remember the story, and this could go back to that passage in chapter 1. Heard a story about a young man who, there was a couple of other young men that were trying to get him to go do the things that were involved here in chapter 1 of burglarizing a house down the street. They knew that the folks were gone on vacation, and they weren't going to be at home. And they were trying to get this young man to join them and be a part of it. They said no. He said, no, I can't. I can't do that. Oh, yeah, you can. Sure, you can. There's nobody there. It'll be okay. You can do that. You can go with us. We'll have fun. No telling what we're liable to find. He said, no, I can't do that. And they said, oh, yeah, I know why you can't do that. You're afraid if your dad finds out, he'll hurt you. And he said, I'm really afraid that if my dad finds out, it'll hurt him. It'll hurt him. Yeah, no one likes punishment or chastisement. No one enjoys that. The Bible says that it's grievous. It's not pleasant. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And so, we see in verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. And you're going to have the right understanding of what that means. And find the knowledge of God. Or the knowledge of God, have His knowledge. Have the knowledge of knowing Him in a personal way. Knowing His thought, knowing His will, knowing His mind. Having the mind of Christ. Verse 6 says where it comes from, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. In verse 5 and 6, just flip over, look over, maybe might be on the same page with you. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I want you to see something here. Again, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. One of the greatest verses in the Bible. Because it tells us that our trust in ourselves, our own understanding in ourselves, is not capable of helping us. It's not possible that our own understanding should show us the way. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Notice the emphasis here is in the Lord, not on ourselves. He is the one who provides it. What does it say in verse 6? For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. The word buckler means a shield. He is a protector there in verse 7. So thankful. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure, and he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. He's a shield. Now, this world is a scary place to be in. You start looking around, reading the papers. You start paying attention to what's going on. We're living in perilous times. We can be overwhelmed by the action and direction of this world in our hearts and minds. Fear can come. We can be afraid of what might happen tomorrow. While the Russians may do this or do that, or a terrorist may do this or do that. I'm thankful. God knows my heart. I'm thankful for our country. I'm thankful for our military. I'm thankful for the protection that they provide. But our trust must ultimately be in the Lord. He's the shield. He's the one that protects us. And it must be all I can do for the government is pray for them. I can't tell them what to do. I wish I could. I wish I could tell them what to do, and they'd do it. But it doesn't work that way. But I can pray, and God can tell them. And I'm praying that God will protect us, that God will be merciful to our country and protect our country as a whole. But what about me and my family? What about us? What about my life? I need a shield. I need help. I need protection. It says, he is a buckler to them that walk, what? Uprightly. That's walking in his paths of righteousness. He is a protector. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Then verse 8 and 9, it says, he keepeth the paths. Again, here we go back. Verses 8 and 9, the word paths are used. And we saw that word path over here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. All thy ways, not some of them, not most of them, but all of them. And that can go to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. He's going to take care of these things. We seek his righteousness. We, in all our ways. Again, there's the way, and then we have the paths. In all our ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. Look at verse 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. I don't know if you had noticed before, but saints, the word saint is an Old Testament word as well as a New Testament word. Very interesting, isn't it? It simply means one that's been made holy. When it's holy unto the Lord. That's a simple meaning of it. Now, some denominations and groups have given it other meanings and definitions, but basically it means one that belongs to the Lord, made holy as unto the Lord. And how does that take place? By trusting in the Lord as our Savior, trusting Christ. And so that's why in many of the New Testament books, the Apostle Paul addresses those folks as saints. We could call each other saint. Now, it doesn't mean that we're sinless, but we can sin less. And we should, our life and our testimony should represent that. Again, I know there's misunderstanding there, but it's a Bible word, and we shouldn't be afraid of it. He preserveth the way of his saints. I like that. Why? Because our way is His way. Is it Psalm 37? It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Have you ever thought much about that verse? Well, what if I desire a pink Cadillac? What's so funny? The pink part's what threw you off, isn't it? Yeah. What if I wanted a white Cadillac? What if I desired that? Well, it says He'll give me the desires of my heart, but there's a qualifier there, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's called delighting thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. How that works is that I delight in what He delights in. Yep. Amen. Then I will have the desires of my heart because I'm delighting in what He delights in.
That's right. Amen.
And He knows what I need. And guess what? Sometimes He gives us what we want. Yeah. Aren't you glad that God's given you some things that you want?
Amen.
Not just what you need, of course. I'm not talking about asking for things that we may consume it upon our own lust, but I'm talking about blessings from the Lord. Go many examples of things that the Lord's given blessings because we delight in Him. And that's what He's talking about. That's what this is talking about here in verse 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment. He preserveth the way of his saints. Verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Remember, equity means fairness. Judgment means that a decision has been made or judgment has been passed down. There's been a decision made on something. And then righteousness, it could be imputed righteousness or it could be the righteousness of behavior, the righteous life. The going in the right direction, the path of righteousness, right living. But how can we live rightly without the Lord, without His help? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's the only way I could do anything that would be considered a right decision, a right life, or right action. All of our righteousnesses, there's none righteous, no, not one. And that's talking about the imputed righteousness. I have no righteousness of my own as far as my standing with God. I have to be declared righteous by Him because of the sinless life of Christ that paid my sin debt. That's how I obtain the righteousness of God. It's an imputed righteousness. He gave it to me because I had none. And I asked for it. And the same as far as you, if you know the Lord. All of our self-righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. There's none righteous, no, not one. But there is a righteousness of God that can be given to us. But not only that, but He can direct us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. Let me leave you with a couple of verses here. In Psalm 25, verses 8 and 9, it says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He will teach sinners in the way. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. In Psalm 119, in verse 105, here it is again. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, in verses 1 through 4, we have the ifs that where we desire, we hunger, we thirst for this righteousness or this wisdom and all these things that are connected with it. And again, we cannot separate it from Christ. We cannot separate it from His Word. They all work together. And then we see what God will give as a result of our hunger, a result of our desire for Him, for His wisdom. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your blessings and for this time together. And we thank You for Your Word. And it's far more than we can comprehend. We cannot explain it. It's inexhaustible. Lord, we know that Your Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Lord, You know our hearts today. You not only know the burdens, but you know the things in our life that shouldn't be there. So, Lord, I pray that you'd do the correcting, the cutting, the removing through your word, the things in our lives that we shouldn't have. And Lord, help us to submit to your truth. And Lord, help us to be yielded to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God as we ask for your wisdom every step of the way. Thank you for these folks and for their prayers and attention today. In Jesus' name, amen.